today we're looking at generosity. And the reason why we're looking at generosity, there's three major sins and attacks the enemy will bring against you. The pride of life, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes. So basically how you combat them is in three ways. Number one is integrity. Humility and generosity, that's how you become a success in this life. You have integrity, you're humble, and you're generous. And so I don't have time to go into all that, but because we're talking and we're focusing on generosity, what does the Bible say about generosity? When you look at the Bible is full of words, right? It's God's written word. We believe it. And there's some topics in the Bible, say like prayer. How many times do you think the word prayer is written in Scripture? Or the topic is mentioned? Well, I'm going to tell you, 272 times. How many think that would be important? That if it's in there 272 times, that's kind of a lot, right? Prayer is 371 times. So write this down. You want to throw some people some things later, right? Believe. To believe. 272 times is believe. I switched them up. So the word believe, if God wants you to believe, is 272 times. The word prayer, he wants you to pray 371 times. Now here, I'm going to give you a big one right now. She has it on her shirt. Love. How many times do you think God tells us to love is in the Scriptures? Give us, throw a number out. 714 times. So you say, okay, well, see, believe, then you're praying, now we're loving. Now I'm going to throw this one out here to you because it's going to blow your mind. Give. How many times do you think the word give is in the Scriptures? Wrong. 2,152 times. The word prayer is only 300 times. The word love is only 700 times. But the word give is over 2,000 times. We need to pay attention to the word give and giving because God's nature is to give. And when you don't learn how to give in every area of your life, you're selfish. And God doesn't want believe. We cannot be followers of Jesus being stingy and selfish. Selfishness is the root of all sin. Why does a man cheat on his wife? He's selfish. He wants to please himself. Why do people do bad things, murder and kill? They're selfish. They're living for them. When you are not giving, you are selfish. And no one wants to hear that. You're hoarding. You're doing everything for you. You're living for you. You are your God. And your checkbook shows it. Okay? So I've been teaching on giving. People haven't really been liking it as much. Some people have. The flesh, like, oh, well, maybe we'll miss because I think we're talking about, even though it says daring faith, I think it's about giving. It's about generosity. But you know, generosity, the word give and generosity, it's in every area. You give your talent, you give your time, you give your money. You give love, you give acts of service, you give words of encouragement. Giving is a natural part of maturing as a believer. Jesus gave, God gave, the disciples gave. Everyone is giving in the Bible. That we look at their character and say, wow, what makes them stand out? They're a generous person. That's why God wants us to learn to give. That's why it is actually written in the Scriptures double than love. Because you can give and not love, but you can't love and not give. You can say you love, but if you don't give behind the love, there's no love. You can say, baby, I love you, but if you don't give generously, if you're not generous with your wife, you don't love her. If you're not generous with your husband, you don't love him. If you're not generous with your children, you don't love them. If you're not generous with your pastor, you don't love him. Tells it, calm down. If you're not generous with your church, you don't love your church. It's just a reality. So generosity is assigned to you because God knows. And God wants you to be like him. Right? You do it with your children. I'll give you an example. You go to McDonald's because your little baby in the back sleep, maybe it was Josiah before we start eating healthy, and you buy them French fries. Every day. Now, and You didn't want fries. The baby wanted fries. You get them fries. You put it in their little cup holder. You start smelling the fry and say, you know what? I think I'll get one. You reach back and grab a fry. You pull it out. No big deal. No, mine. Excuse me? Right? Three thoughts hit your head. Number one, you wouldn't have fries unless I gave you the fries. Number two, you know, you're like, I brought you here. I paid for it. What are you talking about? Mine. I want one fry. I'm going to take one fry or I'm going to take your lot. I mean, some of y'all are serious about your fries. Right? You're like, it's all right. You can take the French fry. You're like, yeah, because you're the parent. You're like, are you going to tell me no? I paid for that, right? How many of you had that happen to you, right? You think, number two, I could buy 1,000 more fries. You have the power. If I wanted my own fry, I would buy my own fry. I'd buy it. It has nothing to do with the fact that you can't afford your own fry. You're upset because your child is stingy and selfish. Because you could ride truckload if you wanted. You get upset because you realize they're being selfish and they don't see the power of giving in family. And that's how we are when we don't tithe and we don't give. God gave it to you and you're saying, mine! And he's like, excuse me? I'm the one who made you. I'm the one who gave you life. I'm the one who gave you a brain. I'm the one who gave you that job. I'm the one who gave you that house. I'm the one that gave you that success. I'm the one who's giving you that health. And if I ask for 10%, you're going to tell me no?
Amen.
He doesn't need our money. He needs us to be unselfish with our money. If God's blessed you, don't hoard the blessing from him. You're mad about a fry. Right? You're not mad about the fry. M&M. You're upset because your child is treating you the way they're treating you when you're their source.
That's right. That's right.
You're like, you're my source. But no, I... What the? It's upsetting. So that's what we do with God. God's our source. Amen? So why should we be generous and givers? Number one, generosity honors God. Giving is an act of worship. And it's a recognition that everything that you have is a gift from Him. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:13 in your notes. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. You prove to God that you're obedient by your giving. Why? Because it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of stinginess. And no one likes a stingy person. Amen?
Amen.
And no, you don't like no one stingy when it's your birthday for sure. Hello, Valentine's Day. When it's time for some loving, oh, don't be stingy. Don't be selfish. I'm too tired. I don't care. No one talking about that. Calm down, dirty mind. How about love, serving, wiping your feet, and cooking your tortillas and stuff? Look at Proverbs 14:31. Whoever is generous to the needy honors God. So when you are giving to people and giving to the orphans, you're honoring God. God is like, yes, I'm proud of you. And it's an amazing thing. And it feels great to know that my gifts are going to do something that's bigger than me. Because when you live for yourself, when you die, that's it. I've never seen a U-Haul attached to a casket. You ever seen someone driving a hearse and there's a U-Haul full of stuff? You're not taking nothing with you except your character and your love and your generosity, all the things that you're developing now. That it's internal. It's not external. It's not material. Number two, generosity draws me closer to God. When you become generous, you actually are welcoming God into your life. Why? Because whatever I invest in, I'm interested in. You get closer to it. When you put money into your car and your rims and waxing it, and I mean, you're real close to that car. You walk around it. Some of you guys know you walk around it. The wife drove the car. It comes back. And you check it when it's your turn. You're like, hey, what in the world? What is that scratch right there? She's like, what scratch? Or if it's your car as a woman, you're like, hey, what is this? There's a speck in the carpet. Every time you use my car, you bring it back dirty. I'm like, it's a French fry for the kid, man. I didn't know, you know. Right? You know. When you love your wife, when you invest in her, because what you honor, you attract. What you dishonor, you repel. If you want your husband to love you more, honor him. You want your wife to love you more, honor her. Honor attracts. You want a favor with your boss, honor your boss. Honor attracts. You want God in your life, honor him. It brings honor by you giving him. Look at the scripture. It says in Deuteronomy 14:23, it says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Matthew 6:21. So you can always tell where your treasure is by looking at your checkbook. Number three, generosity makes me more like Jesus. So when you get drawing God by being generous with all your gifts, talents, time, treasure, and talents, you're honoring God and it makes you more like Jesus. Why? Proverbs 21:26, the greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. We are the richest nation in the world. No lie. Because you're an American right now living in America, you are richer than like 95% of the world. Yeah. 95 or 98%. You think you're poor? No, you got food stamps. Right. You got a house. You got insulation in that house. You got sheetrock on the walls. You got running water. You got electricity. You got cable TV. You for sure got a cell phone. Right. I'm so poor. No, you're eating 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. That you are rich. And it's our responsibility as the wealthy of the world to take care of the ones who can't take care of themselves. Right. Who believes it's the church's responsibility first and foremost? Yes. Because we know better. And we can't do it without money. Right. We can't do it without people willing to go, willing to invest, people willing to go and serve. And when you're doing that, you're being like Jesus, because he's the first missionary. He left heaven and came to earth and gave his life. You're becoming more like Jesus. It says in other Proverbs, greedy says that the godly is to love, but the godly love to give. In other words, to live a holy life is to be a giver. It makes me like Jesus. Purity is best demonstrated by generosity. Luke 11:41. Everyone wants to be holy. Starts by being a giver. Because you're showing that you love. You're showing that you're not stingy. You're not a hoarder, because that's what the devil does. That's, you know, the devil steals, people, humans hoard. But God gives. Number four, generosity is the cure for materialism. How many say we live in a materialistic society? We are the absolute richest nation. And I was looking at Bloomberg magazine, and it had an article about the wealth of America and what's considered wealthy, you know, and they have a list of what the millennials think and what the baby boomers think, and they're saying that between 1.2 million and 2.4 million that you're considered elite wealthy. That's a lot of money. But then they did a list of just like the things, if you have a healthy family, if you have someone who loves you, you know, they did some other things of wealth too, you know. And they were saying, if you go out to eat at least once a week, you're wealthy. If you own a car, you're wealthy. If you own a cell phone, you're wealthy. All the things that even our poor do, according to the world standards. The American standard was 1.4 million, then you're considered wealthy, because then I could buy what I want, do what I want, go where I want, do all those things. In the world standard, if you ate 2 meals today, you're wealthy. You got more than one set of clothes, you're wealthy. You have money in the bank, you are wealthy. Quit thinking you're poor. You are rich. You are financially rich. You usually have a budget issue, not a money issue. You have a discipline problem. It has nothing to do with wealth. It has everything to do with discipline. And you're miserable for it. And materialism robs you of happiness and joy. Because you get your new car, then your neighbor gets a new one, you're like, oh, dang, we need another one. What? There, we just got an Audi, but they all have Land Rovers. Man, we need a Land Rover and a Mercedes, because they just got a Mercedes too. Oh no, they got, is that not how it works?
Right.
Yeah. Just right? Lots of times. Materialism takes over. I don't need 5 pairs of pants. I need 500 pair, just in case. No, we don't want to do that. The Bible says you cannot serve both God and money. It says you cannot serve both God and money. Serving money is materialism. Living for, is he okay with you having things? Absolutely, you can have things. Can you have nice things? Yes. Can you have wealth? Absolutely, yes. He doesn't have a problem with it. He has a problem with when he's not first. And you love those things more than him. And you're trying to prove yourself because of what you've accomplished by your finances. Your net worth versus your heart worth. 1 Timothy 6 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be ignorant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Talking to America. Which is so uncertain. But we should put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will take hold of life that is the true life. You don't know what you're really living for until you break the grip of materialism in your life.
Right.
Until you break materialism, you're stuck in the trap. We just got to make more money. Come on, baby, we just got to get more money. Oh, we got to get nicer things. You're not living life on purpose. You're living life based on what other people say you should have and how you should live and what you should look like and the things that you want. You never really know what living is until you break the power of manna, of money over your life. And I know because I came from poverty and money was a big deal. As a kid, because we never had that much money, I always worked and put money aside. I always had money. My brothers and sisters would come to me and borrow money. I'm like, you're a grown person with kids and a job and you want my single lawn mowing money? Right? Hello?
Yeah.
You've got to look at your life and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be bound up in my materialism any longer. Break the grip of materialism. Be a minimalist. Think about how you can downsize some of the stuff in your life to be a bigger giver. What can I do different in my life to make sure the church moves forward, to make sure our mission to reach the city moves forward? We need a building. We need our own spot that we can meet it more than once a week. We need, I mean, flood's over. We as a church have to pay for it. We ain't got nobody, no magic fairy we're going to rub. We're going to have to sacrifice to get a place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I mean, this is nice, but we're not even doing this. We've got to come together, put our resources together and say, hey, we're going to move forward as a group, as a team, as a family. We're going to break off the materialism. Number 5, generosity demonstrates my faith. Generosity demonstrates my faith. It's because it shows that you're trusting in the promises of God. It shows that you believe. It shows that you believe that God will take care of you when you obey him. That's why generosity is so important. It's an act of faith. Come on, it doesn't make any sense in anyone's mathematics, because in Amber's an accountant now, you know, she graduated an accountant degree, and you say, okay, God's there he's the fry giver, right? He's giving you the fry, and he says, listen, I'm going to take 10%, and then you're going to give me another, whatever you feel like giving me after that one I'm going to take, because I'm taking it. You know, I mean, you give it, but it's a gift, and you're going to live off 90, but your 90 is going to be more than the 100. That's a miracle. And I've been doing it for years, and it always blows up. This week, I got 2 checks in the mail from companies. One was for my medical expenses. I have a lot. Being diabetic, there's a lot of supplies to that. And they got a $220-something check. I'm like, where'd this come from? Well, I overpaid somewhere. Prescription here, prescription there. Doctor visit here. Doctor, I got to go and check up all that. You know, and just, I'm like, wow, that was a miracle.
Amen.
Then I got my Costco's money in. I'm like, man, hallelujah. Costco's pays back. Another $250,
yeah.
Right? I'm like, hey, praise the Lord, we need it. Put that right there in the bank, right? I mean, and that was, where did it come? You know, I'm like, when I needed it this week, and God did it.
Amen.
And God does it for those who tithe and give consistently.
Yeah.
And I want you to walk in that blessing of favor. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, your giving proves the reality of your faith. Philemon 1:6, you are generous because of your faith. Because you can't give without believing that it's going to come back. And God plays a game with you. Amen. Here's the game. Try to outgive me. You can't. You really cannot outgive God in any talent, time, treasure. The more you give, the more God gives back to you. It's funny. You might have one talent, and as you give it to the Lord, He gives you more. Like, I didn't ever know I could do that. But as you keep giving back to God for His glory, God just begins to release over your life more talent. You say, I'm giving up so much time to do this and do that and to help people and to volunteer, and God would just begin to bless you. Yvonne's a great candidate of that. It just happened to her. It's like the third time it's happened that we've come in as a ministry and stepped into some place that they've hired our church members full time for what we did for free. Now she's getting paid. She volunteered the senior citizen home. They saw what she was doing. They saw her heart. They said, hey, would you like a job? We'll do you part-time. Now they want to move her on to full-time. Then they want her to get trained to get a promotion to take over the whole, basically to take over the whole, to run the whole entire facility. Who believes that's a miracle? Amen. She would have never got the opportunity for wealth at that level unless she had given what she had. She says, you know what? She talked to Fran. She said, I got time right now. Let me just go ahead. I can go twice a week. Oh, she asked her to go do it. She said yes. She was willing to obey. She did it. Boom. Now she's getting paid for something that she loves to do, minister to people.
She instantly went and did it when I asked.
Like, it was just like an hour later, boom, she's there. Now we go and play bingo. And it's the highlight of those people's lives. Absolutely. So God took her gift to volunteer to play bingo, gave her more talent, more ability to oversee. I mean, there'll be a day where she'll be promoted. I mean, there's a lot of money in senior citizen living. Trust me. Everyone's going to die. Everyone's going to get old. And most everybody goes into a senior home.
Yeah.
And their kids pay. Some pay $250,000 just to get in the door. And then $7,000 a month. There's some homes like that. Well, this is just a stepping stone for her.
Amen.
To take over that. Imagine her pay at the place is $250,000 a person just to get in. What kind of pay are you getting when everyone there is paying $7,000 a month? You're getting high pay, like $20,000 a month pay, $30,000 a month pay, getting paid. How did that happen? Her willingness to be like Jesus, to demonstrate her faith and say, I'm willing to give my time. So she gave time and she gave talent. God has increased her time, increased her talent. Now He's increasing her treasure. Malachi 3:10, y'all know that one. Stinginess is caused by unbelief. When you are stingy, it's caused because you have lots of fear and doubt in your heart. Number 6, generosity reveals my character. If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches in heaven? It reveals your real character. You can say, I love my wife, but if you don't spend money on her, you don't love her. It reveals really who you are, your husband. If you don't buy your husband stuff or do things for your husband, you don't love him. It's a sign of true character. Number 7, generosity brings God's blessing. Who wants God's blessing?
Yes.
Everybody wants God's blessing. Trust me, everybody should desire the blessing of God in our lives. And this is how you get it, by being a giver. Give, 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 give. And give some more and keep giving and keep planting and keep giving. That's how you get the blessing of God. Proverbs 22:9, generous people will be blessed. Generous people will be blessed. Deuteronomy 15:10, Old Testament, New Testament, it's all over the place. Give generously because of this. God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. Give generously, not stingily. Give generously. And what's going to happen? God says, I'm going to bless everything that you touch. Everything that you do. If it's a hobby, I'll bless it. If it's a marriage, I'll bless it. If it's raising kids, I'll bless it. It's your job, I'll bless it. It's your money, I'll bless it. You want to start a new career, I'll bless it. Whatever you want to do. God said, if you are a generous person, I will bless what you're working on in anything you put your hand to. That's the blessing of generosity. I'm going to talk about some blessings now. I told you about how revealing character, y'all look scared, but now we're talking about the good, the better stuff than having character. No, I'm kidding. Character's top. It's easier to swallow when you're taking a pill like that, right? How about 2 Corinthians 9, 7, 8? God loves the one who gives gladly, and God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need, and more so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. That's called living in the abundance and living in the overflow. That's a promise that you can say. So this week, my faith was tested. You know, I didn't take any kind of paycheck. I'm like, Lord, I don't know who I can call. I said, no, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. God, we need some finances for my family now. And I held him to these promises. I said, Lord, it's a blank check for me. This is what you're going to do. I know it's going to come in. Monday, nothing came in. But I said, no, I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to doubt my doubts. I'm going to believe my beliefs. God, you're going to do it. Boom, Tuesday, check. Boom, Wednesday, check. I said, woo, just in time. Hallelujah. That's how God works, and that's how he operates. Holding him to his promise. He's going to do it. Let's move on. Number 8, generosity increases my happiness. Jesus said, who said it?
Jesus.
There is more happiness in giving than receiving. Now, some of you guys, who's grandparents in here? No, don't raise your hand. Right? When you were a child, when you thought about Christmas, it was always about what I can get. I can't wait to 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 get. And your happiness was temporary because it was in your gift. Because you can give your child a gift, and they'll take it, and they'll instantly break that thing. 5 minutes later, Christmas is still going, and they didn't broke that gift you gave them. If you had that happen to you, if you're not, you hadn't had kids. Because when you have kids, you will buy them something, they will break it, and if you break it, and then they're, it's broke, they're having a big old fit. You're like, oh, I want something else. I don't like that. I'm like, well, you're never having a birthday party ever again. But as you get older and you mature, your true happiness comes from giving. When Christmas time comes, my joy is not getting anything, because if I want something, I'll go buy it. Come on. You're an adult. Your joy is watching your children, watching your grandchildren, watching your nieces, watching your nephews. And listen, our kids in the neighborhood of wealthy people, man, they're all like doctors and like CEOs and stuff like that. They give to everybody all the time. They're the most happiest people in the world. The crossing guard had her birthday. She's 79 years old. I see her and, hey, Helen, what's up, Helen? I drive by on my electric skateboard. You know, we have a lot of fun. And then she's there. I'm flying by her with Noah, and they came out and had a birthday party on the corner for the crossing guard. They brought their coffee pots out. They brought donuts out. They had banners. They had balloons. Why? Because they have money and they have it to give. Imagine when you get to that level. And it starts now, because it's a hard issue, because people always tell me, well, once I make that money, I'm going to give. No, you won't. You never will, because it's a character issue. You have the character flaw. It will never come. Money will never. Well, once we get out of debt. No, you're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to have anything, because it's always an act of faith. And when you give, it makes you happy. You increase your happiness. That's why when you give, it's a joy. You don't have to tithe, but I tell you, when you do, it should be a joy. You don't have to give, but when you do, it should be a joy. You should be a cheerful giver. Why? Because you know what's coming. When I give, when God asks us to give, I get excited, because I love to give and help people and give birthday presents and bless people and all that. You know, and when you have it, you can, right? And it makes you happy. You're not happy right now. You're depressed right now because you're not giving anything. You're not giving anything into relationships. You're not happy with your marriage. Give into it and it'll change. You're not happy with your man. You're not happy with your woman. You're not happy with your kids. You're not happy at your job. What are you giving? Because when you begin to become generous with what you have, you will become happy. Amen. Put a smile on your face. I'm happy to give you the word. Because I know it's going to revolutionize your life. Number 9, generosity expands my influence. Proverbs 11:24 is the world of a generous gets larger and larger. The what of the world? The world, the whole world. That means the influence of a generous person grows larger and larger. The world of a stingy gets smaller and smaller. Why? Because when you're stingy, it's all about you. You know, stingy people aren't happy. They're never satisfied. They're just so full of lust and so full of self and so full of them. What about me? What about my kids? What about my needs? What about my things? You ain't, but where's about mine? What about me? They're selfish. They're stingy. They don't give nothing and they're miserable. The best way to break depression is to start giving, volunteering, giving away things. You'll break depression like that once you give out. And then it'll expand your influence. God says when you become a giver, your influence expands. Jesus was one of the most influential people of all history. Even if people don't believe in him, he changed AD and BC, which they're trying to change now, right? I mean, why? Because he gave his entire life for humanity. Innocently gave his life. Powerful. So the more you give, the more influence you'll have. When you get promoted at work, it's because you gave extra than everybody else. A little extra in front of ordinary makes you extraordinary. All you guys who've been promoted, what did you do? You gave a little bit more than everybody else. Or you were being generous with your time. You could have went home and been with your wife and kids like everybody. But you said, you know what, boss, I'm going to stay and help this extra 30 minutes. You did it enough to say, you know what, I'm going to promote you. You're going to get more money. Everybody else is like 30 minutes before time to go home. They're already gone. You look at 5 minutes after the whistle blows, there's no one in the parking lot. No one likes their job. Right? You should. You're always late because you don't like it. You don't want to be there. You should. It's just that little extra. And it'll cause you to expand your influence. Fran and the team is going to Thailand. Why? They're going to give. Why? They're expanding their influence, what they can do with the gospel. Who knows how many people are along that airplane flight, along those stops, that they're going to be able to minister to. Because they're on a mission to give. They're giving their lives that others can hear about Jesus. You know, you're here today because someone gave their life that you can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility to give that back. You owe. You don't have to, but you wouldn't be here if someone wouldn't have given their life. And I feel it's only fair for me to give. I want to. I love it. And it'll expand your influence. Psalm 11:1-9 says, those who give generously to those in need will never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. They will have influence. You want influence and honor? This is not my word. Look, you can't make this up. This is too good to make up. It's a promise of God. You're like, oh, man, I wish someone would be respecting me more around here. Give. What? I ain't got no respect. What are you giving? Influence and honor to those who are generous. Number 10, generosity multiplies my money. This is a good time to say amen. I mean, you guys are real quiet. This is some good stuff, man. Who doesn't want more influence? Who doesn't want more happiness? Who doesn't want more money? The keys to success in life in those areas are right here by being a generous and being a giving person. It's so easy. So why aren't you doing it? Amen? Generosity multiplies my money. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. That is a promise. He who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. What does that mean? That means you're going to have multiplication. I got a $50 check too. I forgot. A lady just that's helped with the hurricane. She said, hey, look, here's $50 to get some food. Didn't ask her. I haven't been asking for nothing. It just came in the mail. Separate. Why? Because we just keep giving personally. We've not stopped. This is good stuff, right, guys? Come on, man. It's the word of God, man. It's powerful. You will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. What is it? God is just, you're just not going to outgive him, man. You have to become a giver. And it's hard, especially when you are stingy and selfish and living in fear. It is truly an act of faith to give. It really is. But when you do, man, you feel so good. Number 11, we're almost done. It brings God's protection. Psalm 112, 5 through 6 in the Living Bible, it says, all goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God constantly cares for him and will make a deep impression on all who see it. God says, I will protect you. You'll have godly protection. Amen. We know the book of Malachi says he rebukes the devourer off your life. The devil can't steal your stuff because you are giving. Number 12, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. Use your money to do good, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasures for yourselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here on earth as well. Listen, money is to be used. It's not to be loved. Okay, money is a tool. But here's the problem. When you love money, you use people. Listen to me, right? How many of y'all love money? Sell dope, everything else to get it. You use people to get rich. A pimp using women to make himself, he loves money. I mean, it goes on and on, all the things that people do to people. Some of your bosses are using you to make themselves rich, and you hate it. It hurts. Unfortunately, some ministers use people to get rich, and it hurts. When you love money, that's why it's the number one thing about being in a ministry. Say, they cannot love money. Why? Because you're using people. You're manipulating, control people. We don't do that here. We've never done it. We've always said, hey, this is the right way. You should do it. You're dumb if you don't, but hey, you know, it's your life. You know, you must give now. We're going to go. I feel like now, hallelujah, there's a person over here that needs to give $1,000. I mean, I'm not saying that people didn't hear from God like that, but I feel, you know, that it's not the best method. You know, like, it's not how it works. He says, when you love money, you use people to get more. And that's horrible. But when you use money as a tool, you love people. We're using our money as a tool to bless an orphanage. We're using our money to build our own church, pay for our own bills. We're using our money to get back to doing our youth center, which we've missed desperately. Feeding, I mean, we've ministered to just so many thousands. That's what we do with the money the Lord gives us. So God doesn't have a problem with having money. He has a problem with you releasing it. Listen, Luke 6:19, and I'm done, because I've filled your mind with so many scriptures. You're going to be so full of wanting to be generous that we're about to have just a major shift in the atmosphere, the finances here in this place, and the favor on your life, your finances, because of this teaching. Luke 16:9 says, I tell you, use your worldly resources. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. God says, because of your generosity here, you're preparing for your future for eternity. Eternity's forever. This life is quick and over. You're like, oh, I'm giving for my 401k. Okay, and then you die, who gets it? And then it's going to be gone like that. Everything you do for the kingdom lasts for eternity. When you help build a church and the gospel keeps getting preached, that thing will go on for generations and generations of making disciples. You will reap the benefits for that for millions of years. And when you get to heaven, someone's going to come and hug you. Hey, man, thank you. Like, for what? Well, you're the one who sacrificed. And because of you, I'm here. Like, I don't remember. What are you talking about? You paid for that. And that pastor. And then he gave the church over to them. And that person. And then that, you know, and you start. When God shows us in eternity all the little things that we've done and how they all intricately affected people, we're going to be blown away by our small gift. You have no idea the people that are coming up out of that orphanage. What are they going to do for their country? Because they've been raised in a home. And because we've been supporting them and paying for them and giving. And we've been giving to missionaries all over the world. You know, I mean, it's what we do. We want to expand the gospel. It's part of our mission to love God and love all people. Black, white, yellow, brown. And how we do that is to be generous and give to people who are doing it. Give to the needs. Because I guarantee you, there's been a day where we've needed it and someone gave. Let's pray. Father, today, we thank you for your word. Lord, I know in this worldly, this generation, it's so selfish and all about themselves and so stingy and greedy and materialistic. We need to be refreshed with what your word says. We need to be reminded that we're not trying to keep up with the Joneses, that we need to be reminded that we are a blessed people, that we are rich compared to the rest of the world. We may not be the elite rich, but we are wealthy, and we want to use our wealth to spread your gospel. We want to use our wealth to keep making disciples and build people and build buildings for your glory and build youth centers for your glory and build a school in Thailand for your glory. We want to do it, and we can do it, and we will do it with your help. And as we release our seeds and we release our offerings and we give our time and our treasure and our talent and we give to people, God, you're going to overflow us with abundance and protection and multiplication. And we just thank you that it's going to happen in our lives in this season, that the turnaround is taking place, that we're no longer going to use money. God, we're not going to love money and use people. We're going to use money to love people. We're going to use our resources like you've told us to do, the ones you gave us. We're not going to hoard our French fries. We're going to enjoy them and share them. In Jesus' name, amen.